Couple weeks we've been talking about one series in Matthew, just going straight through a series of scriptures. We talked about when Peter proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and then the very next week, last week, how Peter told Jesus to shut up because Jesus was saying that he was going to undergo suffering and he was going to die, and Peter said, don't say that stuff. You're going to be king. You're going to be... And Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. Here is Peter, on whom the church will be built. And Peter, who suddenly becomes a form of Satan. He is the same man as are we. We find ourselves in the same place of being able to proclaim the Lord as our Savior and Savior of the world, and at the same time sinning and doing it up big. So we come to the time of talking about forgiveness. And this is a passage that some of you know very well and some of you don't like at all. And I understand that, because there are times in my own life when this passage has challenged me. Hear these words. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. The actual Greek there reads 70 times 7 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to the king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he began this process, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and his children and all his possessions, in order to make payment. And the slave fell on his knees before him and said, have patience with me, and I promise I will pay you everything. And out of pity, which is also translated in Greek as love, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave the whole debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. And then his fellow slave fell down before him and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But the slave refused. And then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay his debt. Now when their fellow slaves heard and saw what had happened, they were very distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. And then the master, the Lord, summoned the first slave to him and said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all of your debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother and sister from your heart. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word, but most importantly, our attempts to live it. Forgive, forgive, forgive. I should probably do that 490 times, right? Forgive? Oh, no, I'm not going to. I don't have that much time in worship this morning. We're already at 10:15 and I'm just starting sermon. Forgive. And you thought that was funny? Because we got our timer over there? Yeah. I saw him. Glanced down at his watch. What time? What time is she starting? It's okay. Sorry. I forgive him. Now, hopefully he'll forgive me for pointing him out in church. So. This forgiveness thing, this is not easy. It's not easy for any of us. There are things that happen to us in our lives that are just really tough to forgive. There are things in our lives that we don't want to forgive. Now, Jesus, I want you to understand what I told the kids. Same thing I told the kids. Just because you are asked to forgive does not mean that you have to keep taking whatever it is. If someone is hurting you, you know, I want to be careful when we're preaching these biblical texts because they get abused and they get corrupted. If someone is hurting you repeatedly, over and over again, Jesus says you must forgive them, but he doesn't say you have to stay in the situation and take the abuse over and over and over again. You can walk away. Or you can confront them and say, I forgive you for hurting me, but I ask you not to do it anymore. Then if they continue to hurt you, you can walk away. What we're not supposed to do is retaliate. And what we're not supposed to do is to hang on to an unforgiving heart, because an unforgiving heart makes us very, very bitter and ugly people. And that's not what Jesus wants for us. Jesus wants goodness and love to abide. And I think all of us, well, maybe not. I'll just say I am a person who has met in my lifetime people who really just want to be unhappy. They are happiest when they are unhappy, and they don't even know it. They're also happiest when they make other people unhappy. It makes them feel good about themselves. I can walk around taller because I just put that person down. I'm getting a lot of nods, which means other people have had met people in their lives like this too. Our job as Christians is to forgive those people. Our job as Christians is also to try to reach out to them. But if they will not listen, it is not our job to fix them. But we are to forgive them. How many times? Forever. 7 was a sacred number. In the book of Revelation, there are 7 seals, and at the end of the 7th seal, Jesus will come again. That's according to Revelation. But the symbolic meaning behind it, meaning behind this is that if we are waiting for Christ to come and Christ has not come, we have to keep forgiving. See, it's not just about the 490th time. Some of you have forgiven people 490 times in your lifetime. You haven't necessarily counted it up, but if you did count it up, you've forgiven a person in your life 490 times. And so, by reading this scripture, you can say, well, I'm done now. 491 I don't have to do. That's not what Jesus says. By using the 70 times 7, he's using the sacred number, which means forever. I know this is hard. I know it's not easy. You all know parts of my story. You know that I have had things happen to me that I didn't want to forgive for. That it was hard for me to forgive. And yet I learned, and I need you to learn, and Christ needs you to learn, that when we forgive, we are forgiving as much for ourselves as we are for the other person. Because when you do not forgive, when you harbor grudges, when you become that kind of critical person, you become hardened in your heart. You become unkind. You become unhappy. You become twisted and warped. And that is not following Jesus. And that's not what Jesus wants for you. It's not what he wants for you. He wants you to have a soft, loving heart that's big and joy-filled and looking forward to the next adventure. And I know it's not easy to forgive some people, but when you forgive, when you really forgive from your heart, you release that person and you release that anger and you don't feel it anymore. You can let go of it. And when you're able to let go of that, that's such freedom. Even if we've been angry at God. Well, here's a thought. We forgive God. Ooh. Listen, in some situations, when you don't know where God is, when you can't figure out why God would let something happen, when you're angry because God did let something happen, yeah, there needs to be an act on your part of forgiving God. God doesn't need your forgiveness, but you need to do that and be reconciled again with God. Whether the other person accepts your forgiveness, whether the person even acknowledges they've done anything wrong to you, is not what is crucial here. What is crucial is that you forgive and let yourself be freed from that. The very end of this passage is not so pleasant. God remembers when you do not forgive. Will you go to hell? No. Not if you realize that you were wrong and you say, I'm sorry that I couldn't. We have a way of using the word couldn't when the word is didn't want to. I'm sorry that I didn't want to forgive this person and so I didn't. I'm sorry, Lord, that I couldn't forgive this person. God will still love you. God will still allow you in the gates of heaven. No, that's not going to stop you. But I'll tell you something. God will be disappointed in you. God does judge. God may very well take you aside in heaven and say, you know, you had a real problem. You couldn't forgive. And I had a real problem with that. God may not wait till heaven to do it. God may send someone, a messenger to you, who will say to you, you have a problem with forgiving. And you have a problem with being angry. And you need to release that and let it go. Because it's hurting you. It's damaging your heart, that precious heart of God's, that precious soul. Don't let all this eat you up. Forgive and be forgiven. Forgive and be forgiven. There is a late night talk show. In fact, I think it's called the late night. I don't know. Anyway, Stephen Colbert's show. He has a segment on that show that where he confesses to his audience and they forgive him. Has anybody ever seen it? Yes. We're going to play Congregation, Will You Forgive Me? Now, I know that the confessions that I am about to make to you, you will not tell to anyone in the world, right?
Right?
Right. They will be kept between us. Okay? All right, just a moment. Congregation, I confess that I ate more than my 30 points on Weight Watchers yesterday and more than my extra points for the week. And more than that. Congregation, I confess that sometimes I get frustrated when people criticize me when I haven't done anything right or wrong or at all or too much. It's very frustrating sometimes because I try my best, and no matter what I do, sometimes I can't make anybody happy. And I confess that I have a hard time forgiving some of those people who just nag and nag and nag at me. Congregation, I confess that sometimes I nag and nag and nag about you, but only to God. Well, mostly only to God. I confess that I love this congregation so much that I would do anything for it, even jeopardize my own health. Oh, wait, I don't think I need forgiveness for that one, do I? No, come on. Congregation, I confess that sometimes the thermostat gets set down right before worship. And sometimes I don't do it. Congregation, I confess to you that I love children. And I want more of them to come to church and Sunday school. But I confess to you that I can't do this alone. And I know that that's probably sinful and I should be able to do it all, but I can't. I need you all to help me. I confess to you, I can't do every part of ministry the best in the entire universe. I confess to you that I know that you want the perfect minister, but you got me. I confess to you that I will do my very, very best not to let you down, but there will be days when I do. And I ask you, will you forgive me?
We forgive you.
Okay, only two people forgave me. Okay! Let us pray! Holy and gracious God, it is difficult sometimes to forgive. And you know that. You see what happens. You know that sometimes it's difficult. But you also know that it's better for us when we do. And it's better for us when we laugh and love each other than when we hurt each other. We ask you, Lord, to help us be strong enough to forgive and courageous enough to not need to forgive. Let us be faithful enough to you that whatever we say and whatever we do brings you glory and brings us closer as a community of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is in this very room. It is one of my favorite songs because it is very simple. In this very room, there's enough love, enough joy, enough power, enough hope for the whole room, the whole world, in this room, because Jesus is here. Let us stand and sing.